Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
What's this, like an 8-minute podcast?
Yeah.
we keep it quick, man.
Yeah, we do it a Chris D'Elia, Brian.
Gonna get me out of here Brian right Callen at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Send me right over there.
No problem.
All right. Wow. Wow, this is professional sounding podcast. My podcast sounds like shit.
Well, I mean, you
welcome
just...
to ATC.
Well, because you just like put the phone like on your chest, right? And then just like talk into it or something?
No, that's what it sounds. That happens sometimes, but I don't. I try to do it other ways.
Do you like doing your podcast?
Are we doing the podcast right now?
Yeah.
Is it going? Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I know we used to have like a big like, welcome in, but that's, you know,
the
you just
intro
get right.
music.
Yeah, then it just felt too much like morning radio, and that gives comics like a little PTSD where we're like, oh man, I've been in too many bad situations
and you're
there.
You're far too cool for morning radio.
Except
oh,
for that
wait.
Your shit jokes are way above that.
Except for that he did it for 2 months.
Yeah.
In San Fran.
Yeah, I was burned out from the road, and someone offered me a morning radio job in San Francisco, California, and I said, I'll do it. And then, like, the first week, I was like, that's
like
not.
The landlocked cruise ship gig. I mean, if you blow up, like, if you can be like a...
the king of the cruise ship?
Well, no, if you can be like a, like... You know, get into that, like, you're like syndicated around the
floor. Yeah,
right.
But if you're just doing that morning drive thing, and you go in there, 90% of the hosts and co-hosts, they hate each other.
Yeah,
it's like this loveless marriage. You walk in, you can feel the tension.
Yeah,
dude, you know how many shows I did where they, when they were on the air, it was just everything was going great, and then the second they went to break, it'd take about 3 breaks, and I would realize, mm-hmm. These guys, they don't talk to each other.
No,
they're talking to each other through me.
Yeah. Like
they sort of angle it.
They're both having their individual conversations with you.
Yeah, like the paper. One of them would just start reading the paper. That happened when I was just reading up. I don't know how I was like on the internet last night. I was just talking about this in my podcast. When Dean and Jerry Lewis broke up.
Yeah.
Like how bad it got at one point.
Yeah.
Was Dean got into the restaurant business, and he had this place right on the west of La Cienega and Sunset, called Dino's Lodge, and they had his likeness up there and everything, and it was a really cool place because it started in 1958 and he was fucking Dean, right? So everybody was going down there, famous people, and then, you know, regular people going and see Dean in there and shit, and he'd sign autographs first couple months, whatever. Jerry Lewis opened another restaurant like fucking 3 blocks down.
What?
Stole Dean's business manager, offered him more money, and rather than just having his face, he had his face on a 100-foot pole revolving around.
Just the fuck you move.
No, no, just it's just fuck like, you. Wow, man. You think, you know, some of these bands and shit, some of the stuff they get involved in, like this, they went like hardcore.
Well, like, and nowadays with social media, I just don't feel like those feuds can really happen anymore, because now they would blow up and everyone would know about it and everyone would talk about it. And some guy in North Dakota would be like weighing in, like, that's kind of fucked
and
up.
Sometimes it just becomes, and you just go, is this just like a career thing for them? Let's pretend we're mad at each other. Now. Like, I don't even know.
I don't know.
Social media rule. I mean, it helps so much shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it just also like.
Do you ever just like reflect on? I mean, I'm curious.
I never
too.
Reflect.
It's a great special title.
That is something I never do.
You never look back.
Do you ever look back on the train wreck?
Do you remember?
Yeah, your life?
Yeah. No. But you're saying like being on the internet last night. Like, how often are you just? I don't want to say like going down a rabbit hole of like YouTube videos, but just like scouring the web for
all the time,
like mindlessly.
No, it's never mindlessly.
Always with a purpose. It's almost like when you're.
I tried to find out how to make a homemade lat machine, like, you know, lat pull down machine.
Yeah.
I tried to figure out how to make one of those today, but the guy was like, it took me about 6 to 8 hours. I could tell he was handy. It's like, dude, that's gonna be like fucking 6 to 8 months. Because when I fucked up my rotator cuff when I let it get real bad. And now I finally fixed it and able to like get back into being able doing pull-ups and stuff. I need the lat pull-down machine, but I'm not a member of a gym.
Why not?
And I don't want to go down there because I'll fucking watch what I eat. I'll do some push-ups.
Yeah. There you go.
The gym is gross.
It really is.
It's just everything's sweat all over, and it's really a disgusting place. Unless you're young, then it's like, oh, you can meet people and stuff like that.
But
you're just an old guy.
Yeah.
who gets sick easily. I mean, it's not a place you want to be. So I was like looking up shit like that. But I watch a lot of, been watching a lot of stuff on like motorcycle racing, drumming, right. and like I look at like specific just shit that I'm into, either long haul or just for a couple of minutes, and I'm into it.
So. Helicopter videos?
Yeah, I follow a lot of that stuff.
How often are you flying?
Well, I was on the road in Europe and on vacation last month.
Not in your copter?
No. Oh, no. Okay. So I haven't flown since like mid-May, so I got to get back in there. But it's something I honestly like really, like I really miss. It's incredible amount. It's the most ridiculous. You know, when they always talk white privilege.
Yeah.
White privilege ain't shit. Get a pilot's license. All of a sudden you're by yourself flying over Dodger Stadium and it's legal. Like, oh my God. Geez. Not saying it's not shit. You know,
but
people of color, your fans, all of a sudden, I get like,
we have two listeners.
Socially,
we have
two. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about this backstage at the goddamn Comedy Jam, but I asked you if you had ever done the auto-rotate thing in your helicopter.
Oh, no, you have to be able to do it.
Yeah, you have to do that, and that blows my mind. Adam,
what's that?
That's not that hard.
Well, like, but just the concept of it, when you auto-rotate, you take off in a helicopter, you have to shut off the engine and then land?
You don't shut it off.
Jeez, how often does this happen where guys who've never flown a copter tell you how it's done?
Let me tell you how you live your life, Bill.
I was like him. I thought before when I was training, I just thought, like, well, this thing doesn't have wings.
Yeah.
If the engine cuts out, you're fucked. But you're not.
It's you're not.
Well, when it's on, mm-hmm. it's drawing air into the disc, and that's what's creating lift. And like all the blades are shaped just like a wing. So it's the same thing. All you're doing is you're causing air over the top to go faster than below.
Right.
Which creates a low pressure system. High pressure always goes to low pressure, and it takes the most direct route, and that's through the wing, and that's how it fucking goes up. So that's what it is. So, when the engine quits, God forbid, how you keep it turning is you now falling to the ground and it rushes up. So, there's a certain speed with each one that you fly that you have to stay within, because there is a thing, though, if the RPMs went down too far, there's no way to recover. Mm-hmm. And then you're in a bag of bolts and you're going to die. So, but the thing is like, they train you like a lab rat. Like, the low RPM horn comes on, it's fucking nauseating, and you just slam the collector down. But to get into one, it's the same inputs that you mm-hmm. do when you go to land. So as long as you think it like that, when I was taught it, they were like, what was it? It was like lower collective of, I can't even remember. And it was like right pedal for trim, blah, 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 blah. You know, trim, airspeed, RPM, and all this shit. Yeah, I mean, you do have to look at that. But it's more just like, okay, if you settle into it, you do what you would do this. If you want to go forward or, you know, you can do that. Want to slow down, you just do that. It's right pedal. All you do is you just literally, the horn comes on and you go like that, and then you settle in, and then you just always make sure that you're flying, you're never flying below what I fly is 65 knots, because that's, you don't have to try to increase your speed, because you'd have to nose it over and you're already falling towards the ground, which you don't want to hit. So so logically, when you're coming in for a landing, like, it's like you want to, before you make your final turn, you are still keeping it around 65.
Right.
God forbid if something happens. And if something does happen, you're right there at the fucking airport, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Watch, I'll die next week.
Has your passion for flight travel like transition into, like, is there going to be like a Bill Burr balloon, like hot air, like center opening up, or
that's more like Jeff Dunham. he builds his own.
Oh, for real?
He builds his own helicopter.
I thought you were like the puppet guy's got hot air balloons. He really does.
That guy. I saw a documentary on that guy. I was like, this guy is like, he's fucking unbelievable.
He builds his own helicopters?
He builds his own helicopters. He built his own puppets. Because if you go to a store and you buy a puppet, I didn't know this.
I've done that.
And then you get famous on it.
Yeah.
Then they come in, hey, you're using our product.
Oh.
And then you owe them money.
Yeah.
Oh, so, some tiny store.
And then he didn't just make some stupid sock puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No offense to mankind. Right?
I will get that reference.
He actually went on the computer. It was unbelievable. He had this 3D design. First of all, he made like this amazing character. Like, he has the ability to do that. And then he stuck it in this thing that looked like a safe combination, like microwave. And he pours this goop in or something like that, and it comes out, and he's got fucking head.
I want to watch that documentary, but I want to have it immediately followed by the video of you talking about what the documentary is like.
You can have your documentary, you talking about it. It's just like, this fucking guy, I'm sitting there going like, hey, I wrote a couple of jokes today. This fucking guy's like a mad scientist.
He made a business.
There's like lightning going off in the background. I was like,
he makes a puppet.
I had a... Oh, dude, I already respected the guy, but when I saw that, I was like, yeah. Jesus Christ, this fucking
That's
guy.
Cool when that happens, when you feel like you know somebody, when you don't really, and then you see something like that deeper on them, like, well, I mean, when you started, even just growing up, like, what were you into comedically? Like, what got you, like, interested in all this?
Oh, Three Stooges.
Yeah.
Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis. I liked all the silly shit. Yeah, I never was into the Marx Brothers. I was never a smart guy. It was always somebody get hit in the face with a pie. It's fucking hilarious.
It's classic. It always works.
And my mother hated slapstick, so the more she didn't like it, the funnier it was.
Yeah. Sure. Because then you have her commentary, like, I don't get it.
This is fun. This is just like with Jerry Lewis. You used to be, he's too silly. He's just too silly. And it just would make it even funnier to me. So, yeah, anything. I liked those, and then I liked all the badass actors from back then.
Right.
Who a lot of them were like war veterans, you know. So when they made a war movie, a lot of them, you know, like Lee Marvin was in infantry. I think he like his platoon, and he was like one of the only guys that survived.
Right.
Jeez. He got shot in the leg. Yeah, some sciatic shit or something. So when he's doing the thing, that's why when you see him in the Big Red One, you see him in all those war movies. He is it because he was. So you know, Charles
training.
Bronson.
Yeah.
Was in Poland in like a coal mine. Like actors were fucking tough.
God.
Back then.
Nowadays,
now they're like, I lost 40 lot, pounds
saying,
for the role.
Not saying the former wrestlers, the people like that aren't tough and can't kick my ass. But I'm saying like, those
sure, we're not like, talking. We're not talking about The Rock
that actually saw action and fucking had to kill people.
Yeah.
And then would go on the set or whatever.
It was now it's like they have their vegan diets, and you're like,
I would think as long as this you know, free in the Iraqis thing is going on, which is what we're doing now. Is that what it is now?
It's been
rebooted like 9 times.
More than the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, but like those guys come in, and some of them are going to end up being actors. And I, you know, this is such a fucking selfish thing for me to say, but just, as a fan of movies, there could be some badass actors.
So we,
they are.
There's going to be the new Lee Marvin.
We just need a few more wars.
Yeah, and then
get some great actors.
I already don't get work, but then once those guys come along, they're be like, "Oh, this guy's a pussy, man. He never saw any action."
Yeah, he's played Halo a couple times. You said you weren't a smart guy growing up, but like you, I mean, you're obviously
I'm a weird kind of.
You're
smart.
So informed on stage, like you speak to the highest of.
I just speak confidently. I don't read or anything. I just see shit and I go, oh, that goes with this. It's not even conscious. And then I just connect them and I just say it like it's a fact. And most people don't read like me. And then everybody just sort of agrees.
You're so right. So you trick them.
Everybody disagrees.
Yeah.
It's not a trick because I'm not even like cognizant that I'm even fucking doing it. But like I was not good at school. I was not like if I'm into something. Mm-hmm. I can be like halfway decent at, but making people laugh was the only thing that I was ever like
early on.
Yeah, I mean, I had orange hair, dude. It was just like something had to give.
It's
like,
a defense mechanism.
I had to keep the older
kids. Is it really that much of a socially crippling thing? Like
you're like if you watch the Discovery Channel and they go to pick the weak
they
one,
have specials it's just, on you guys.
Yeah, it's like they have specials on redheads.
When gingers attack, you haven't seen that.
It's definitely a thing that like older kids. Like, we'll gravitate. Like, we're going to pick on some kids.
Yeah.
You know?
It's easy.
There's a group of kids. And then I'm sticking out like a sore thumb, like a fucking stop sign. So, that. So, I learned how to, like, you know, it caused me this weird thing where I was like a class clown, but I was also, like, timid. Because, you know, I knew that in any second, you know, the other shoe would drop and be some sort of...
Well, were you the type of guy that got in a lot of fights as a kid?
I did up until junior high. And I stayed back in first grade, and I had baby fat, so I could just lean on kids, and I did all right. And then when I got into like sixth grade, you know, when you get to middle school, there's that weird thing where it's just like, you know, you're like 4'5" with like a.
I've never been 4'5" in my entire life, Bill Burr. Thanks for bringing it up.
That just informed my intelligence. I looked right at him; it never dawned on me.
You remember when you sit down,
I'm right here.
The second you sit down, you're full size to me.
You looked right at me and said, "Remember when you were 4'5"? No,
no,
that's never happened. Never
when you were 4.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
So wait. So you would. You could body up kids. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Other kids were like, all of a sudden there'd be some kid and he was like taller than the teacher and had like stubble. It was just that weird thing where it was just.
Ours was
like,
Jesse Mose.
Yeah.
He was fucking girls in seventh grade.
Yeah.
And he had a mustache.
Yeah. He was always.
And
the
he was
legend.
Like 6'3".
I remember there was a kid. Like,
who was yours?
This kid John Pulsini.
Fuck.
You always know.
Yeah.
He was like this fucking guy was. He was always tall. And I remember we went to lunch, like we weren't in the same division. And we were like, just walked, we sort of looked at each other and we kind of sized each other up. He goes, Jesus, Bill, have you not grown in a couple of years? It's like, no, dude, you're like the tallest person in the school right now.
He was, we thought you were principal, man.
Yeah, he was very, 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 very tall.
How would you make people laugh in like middle school and high school?
Depending on how cool they were. If they were like football players and cool and good looking chicks, I didn't fucking say anything. I knew where I was in the pecking order. I was in the middle. So if I was in some shithead class with a bunch of shitheads like me, I was much more outgoing. I had like nine personalities. If I was in a class where there was like, you know, overlap, where there was some juniors, some seniors, and I was a freshman or whatever, I gradually got more brave with my jokes, and then they thought I was cool. I always had to make sure. I mean, I was always like, yeah, I was a timid person, but if there was like a bunch of popular kids and I just shut up, I was just like, all right, this is their world, you know.
Yeah,
this is the best 4 years of their life.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna get in the way of it. Like, it's mine.
That's very cool. You knew your spot.
No, dude. Like,
but so you never had like an older popular kid that was like, you know, Billy Burr's pretty funny, like, and like, hey, come hang out at the football party, like, and make us laugh.
No.
And you didn't even want to try to.
No, I just, a victory was if I made him laugh enough that he then moved on to bullying somebody else. That's all it was back then. Was just getting it off
right.
of you.
Yeah,
getting it off for you.
Yeah, so when kids would make fun of me, I would be like, yeah, well, at least I'm not Matthew. Look, the fuck, what's wrong with him? And just pass it on down the line.
Yeah,
and then
deflect.
Yeah, and then Matt's at the end of the line. Fucked.
Yeah, no, you gotta have it. You gotta, you know, that's why you need. You need the weaker kids.
Yeah, now we're trying to make everybody strong. It's like, no, you need a couple weak ones there.
That is going to fail miserably.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to go out into the real world and you got, it's weird. It's like you have to, it's off, man. You got to just take the humiliation. My mother said something so sad the other day, but it was so true. And I was talking, you know, I got a daughter, man. She's going to be about a year and a half old, right? And she was coming out to visit. She goes, oh, this is like the best age. She goes, you got to enjoy the first 3 years of their life. You know, that's the best time. Mm-hmm. She goes, before the other kids ruin them.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's been, it's not even just picking on them. It's just like, you know, there's just going to, like, I got, you know, friends who are parents, who, you know, with, you know, kids older than mine, you know, obviously, like 5, 6, 7, 8 and stuff. And they'll just talk about, like, oh my God, he's friends with this kid next door. This kid is just a fucking asshole. And it's just like their parents are just not involved. They're just not good at being parents,
or yeah,
the kid's just a lunatic, you know. And your kid's friends with them, and like how you deal with that.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm afraid of is these stupid phones and stuff. It's like, you know, with the internet porn and stuff, and some kid's trying to show off and shows to the kid.
You can't stop it, like, because the one kid will have a phone at like third grade or whatever, second grade, and then know how to go past whatever. Yeah. Parental filters.
I kind of knew impossible. That it's probably impossible. I didn't need you to say it so definitively.
Let me tell you exactly what your daughter's going to be looking at in 5 years.
But he knows exactly.
Just can't stop it.
I was
like, that should not be. Like, the internet is just fucking out of control with that. The fact that kids can see what they can see.
Is there ever going to be like parameters or an extra level of like clamping down? Like, it
there
just seems
because there there's like the with kids there should be like, I like, it's not helping. I saw this whole article about kids, teenage kids being addicted to porn, and they had watched so much porn by the time they had sort of their first like interaction, they said their body didn't respond, meaning they didn't get it up, like, it was so like desensitized.
Fuck yeah.
So it was like a 14-year-old kid, 16 or whatever. It was like he was on the Vice Squad the last 7 years of his life, rather than doing what I was doing when I was a kid. We were out playing baseball.
Yeah.
And like, I mean,
you are missing, that's a great point. Yeah. You like the activities you are missing out on as a kid because you are, my 14-year-old nephew, the first time I started to understand that he was like really into porn, he was downstairs, I was at my sister's place, and like 3 hours I'm hanging out, all of a sudden he just comes out upstairs and he's like rubbing his eyes and he's like, looked like he walked out of a cave, and I go, are you all right? I go, what were you doing on there? Taking a nap? And he goes, yeah. And I go, that's not how people respond. No. Like, his pause, his delivery, such a bad liar.
Are you ratting him out right now in your fucking
Fuck pocket? Yeah, I am. This kid jerks off too much. Yeah, I mean, he plays a lot of sports, too. I guess the balance is not so bad. But
yeah.
I was going to ask, when you said you're getting bullied like that, did your folks, like, step in?
I also bullied. I was in the middle.
Of course, everybody did.
I was also in the middle. Like, I would pick on weaker kids. And I was definitely one of the weaker kids, so I would.
So you would come out of a locker and throw somebody right back in.
It was like the loser caste system. You know, I wasn't on the lowest rung, but I was nowhere near the highest rung. So I definitely, you know, I did some shit and I said some shit that, you know, just fucking things that kids do, you know?
Done to me.
I did it to other kids.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Did your parents ever step in and, like, you know, like, call, like, I'll call the principal for you or, like, to try to already... I'm curious, like, how much of, like, the parental situation for family is, like, similar to... Or you're basing it off of, like, you're actually...
Yeah, no, it was very, like, latch key back then, but it was a different time. And, like, it seems like it's this bad thing that kids just had a key to the house and they let themselves in, and the oldest kids watched the younger kids and stuff like that. But it was also... I mean, for whatever reason, it just, like... I don't know if we're overly cautious, because the way it is now, you feel like if you let your kid out of the house, there's a pedophile behind every fucking tree.
Yeah.
And like something, like if you let him ride that bicycle down the street, you're never going to, you're literally never going to see him again. And then I think of some of the shit that I did.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I was once on a bike and I was gone literally with my friend like all day. Like all day. We were not at a house all day, just riding around the city.
Yeah.
And like now, if you did that, like some parent would call and they'd find out who you were, and like they'd
take pictures of you on the bike and then they'd take you away from your mom. They would be like, this is like, you know, some sort of bad whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, how are you gonna balance
social services? But like, you know, it was one of those things where you just, you know, my mom, you just said, yeah, go outside and play. And you just went outside and there was other neighborhood kids, and you just met other neighborhood kids and then figured out what to do. They were building new homes, you'd go down and climb in them and break shit and run into bigger kids and you'd hide, or they like that one episode where the Bill was up in the tree and the kids were throwing rocks shit. Mm-hmm. That really happened to me and a friend of mine, but there was no fireworks and stuff. Obviously we took it to the next level.
Right.
But we were just up in this tree, these bigger kids came by and saw us and just threw rocks at us until they were tired. And we were just up there crying.
So they're trying to dodge him.
Yeah, man. It was just a lot of that. And then if there was snowing out, all of a sudden there was that one house that had the big hill and everybody would just go up there and you'd be sledding or whatever. And then the big kids after a while would get bored with sledding, and then they'd you know, come up with stunts for you and the little kids to do, and they pile like 90 on top of one of those little.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Zoom you out towards traffic.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I was always the guy because I was the smallest. Every idea would be like, I wonder if Brad could fit in. Like that was the game show. I wonder if Brad could fit in.
Self-esteem wasn't where it needed to be. It's like, well, at least they're interacting with me. Sure, I'll get in that refrigerator.
Yeah, been in a refrigerator. Been in a dryer.
Have you really?
Oh yeah,
dude, a refrigerator. That's scary.
Yeah,
that's what people used to always. All the kids used to die in those fucking.
Yeah,
you joked about on. I can't remember which special it was, but about the
they're
kids.
All the same.
Not true. What you joke about the kid, the Duracell battery commercial, and the kid having the tracking device on him. Do you ever think it'll get to?
Absolutely, it's already going on. It's either Switzerland or Sweden or something like that.
Oh, really?
Somebody sent me something like getting chipped is like the new thing. Like
yeah.
kids grow up with technology and they're not afraid of it. So maybe I'm overreacting, because this shit was all like Star Trek and sci-fi and on like the Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. And it was presented in a very fearful way. I mean, maybe it won't be bad. I don't fucking know. But, like, I don't want a foreign object in my body. You know, my body, like, how are you going to trick my body to not reject it? I mean, it's not supposed to be there.
So. Yeah, like, I know that dogs are chipped right now. My dog's chipped, and it's only a matter of time until it gets to the kids.
I didn't do that with my dog.
Oh, you
didn't? Specifically because I knew that they were going to slowly work their way up the food chain to human beings. So now it seems normal. My dog's chipped.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's happened to my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anything happen to me? You don't even want to hear my fucking...
Because I know you're kind of... I don't want to say you're into conspiracy theories, but you're into looking at and not just accepting things. You kind of see the bigger picture.
People don't handle a position of power well.
Yeah.
I'm a good example of it. Everybody, you know, it's not something human beings are good at. Generally speaking, some people, every once in a while, you'll get like a saint that is. But like, no, I think, you know, either it's absolute chaos out there, or I think that the reason why the richest people aren't concerned about what they're doing to the environment is because they're going to replace us with robots, is what I think. I know that sounds fucking nuts, but I do. I think they're going to replace us, and then they're going to live, and then there's going to be a group of us where our job is going to be to reproduce so they have organs that they can harvest and continue to live forever.
Oh, pretty sure this was a Matt Damon sci-fi movie at some point.
Well, look, iRobot.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying, like...
It's a possibility.
I just look at, like... Well, if you look at the shit that corporations do...
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, to the drinking water and prolonging wars and all the shit that they fucking do, you know, getting these guys bought and paid for. All these fucking guys who've been president, they all come out, they're worth like eight. Obama's worth like 80 million, Clinton's worth hundreds of millions, fuck. Bush's are worth hundreds. It's like, how do you do that? You were in public service. You made 500 grand a year at the highest paid level as a president for 8 years. That's $4 million. I don't know, even if you didn't pay taxes.
Yeah, how do you have
80? How did you get that thing to multiply by 4 to 8? And then, well, they do these speaking engagements, and then you look who they speak to, and it's the people who fucking put them in office. It's like they're washing the bribe money. They don't even try to hide it.
Uh-uh. Yeah.
So
I imagine you don't have an Amazon Alexa in your house?
What is that? Oh, that's that lady? No. Yeah. The woman you talk to that makes you dumber and records all your shit. And like, yeah. You're never going to be able to run for president. Ever. If you're ever going to, what that thing's going to do is just totally record everything that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you say in your house, okay? And then they're just going to have keywords.
Yeah.
They'll type in the N-word. They'll type in homophobia. They'll type in whatever the fuck you said. I don't know what you say at home.
I don't know what you say at home.
Alexis will.
Yeah.
And they'll have anything, and they'll just string it together. If they don't have enough, you'll say it. Have said enough shit.
Brad, he's exactly right.
They'll sew it together.
Howard Stern does it.
What's that?
It takes like sound bites and strings them together to make... You know.
Yeah, I mean, like
there's no reason why.
Yeah,
there
was one case.
I think that's what they're going to.
There was one case where they actually solved a murder because the person who got killed had an Alexa, and it recorded the murder. So they went in, they got the recording, even though you're like, oh, right. That's not recording. Turns out.
Oh yeah.
Yes, no, it is.
One of those fucking people who makes the flat screen TVs. Got busted. They were watching you on the camera, watching TV. Now, what if you're banging your wife? What are they doing? And the fact that there's just, and the fact that, you know, if one person gets your address and everybody gets your address and they're selling your private information with all the stalkers and psychos out there, like,
yeah.
But like, they put politicians in office so they don't get in trouble for all the horrible shit that they're doing, which is why I think robots, yeah, they'll take over and they'll harvest our organs. And now it all makes sense.
Bill, the first time I feel like I got to kick it with you, which was awesome, was the Big Poppy Roast. And I want to hear, and maybe Brad can, you can enlighten him on your experience with that. Because one thing I found incredible was the amount of like lack of prep you seemed to like display and then just destroyed as usual. And you went up last, but you did something that I've never seen before where you like... You shit on the organization that put on the event, you know, in a fun, jokey way, but still, like, was taking shots.
Yeah, that guy was, like, videotaping the whole time. I knew Grunk was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
It's like, what are they doing? Because this is going
to Because they were supposed to air it.
It's going to get taken out of context. No, it was some guy with his cell phone camera.
Oh, right.
That's why I told him, I go, shut that off.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a roast, and you take one thing, and it's like, oh, Grunk said horrible things. It's like, yeah, it's a roast.
But then but then it goes on those clickbait sites,
right.
And then they act like it's...
And there was TMZ was like, Grunk talks about blacks, Jews, and Dominicans. It was like, everybody did.
Yeah.
It's a roast. Did you have fun at that? Was that
a great time.
Yeah.
I think I made fun of Lenny Clark more than I made fun of Big Poppy. But,
yeah, you did.
I was sitting there going, how do I make fun of Big Poppy? The guy, like, you know...
Yeah, I was going to ask, because that's... I mean, those are your guys, right?
Oh, you know, you saw what I did. I just made fun of him for being a fucking DH sitting on the bench. What's it like to play pro baseball? What's it like waiting for a bus? Except once every 40 minutes, you get up and you ground out into the shift. I made fun of his big fucking square head and shit.
Yeah.
But he was so fucking cool. He was cool. I just remember he just kept yelling, fuck you at me. And I was going, fuck you too. You wanted to get roasted. It was just the most fun. He was such a fun guy. It was so great. And I thought Pedroia was great.
Unbelievable.
When Pedroia went up, he's like, unlike you fucking assholes, I wrote these jokes or whatever. I love that. I was just like, there it is.
Yeah.
That's the spark. That's why he's a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked, you know, I thought the whole thing was...
Do you enjoy the process of even just like writing jokes for something specific like that?
Well, yeah. You know, something I've avoided doing a lot of roasts just because I learned early on, someone always ends up getting mad. Yeah. And then so there's got to be like, I have to have some sort of connection to the person that I'm roasting.
Right,
if you just go in there as a hired gun, it's guaranteed you're going to piss somebody off.
Yeah, you got,
and then some of those
you got
roasts
a relationship.
Too. Yeah, it just got to the point where it was getting like... Like the whole like we're roasting you because we love you was just gone. And it was just like, hey, I heard your mother died of AIDS. Let's, you know,
remember that?
Let's find her corpse and fucking jizz on it. Oh, and it's just like, all right.
Yeah, it's like when they bring Ann Coulter to the roast. It's like, yeah, there's some.
Oh, that's the other thing too.
Yeah, where they bring the
person
in.
That's how Donald Trump, I think, became president. Anytime there's a roast, the problem is, okay, we're going to roast Adam, right? There's only so many angles. We all know him the same fucking way. None of us are Alexis. I'm sure Alexis could do fucking 2 hours on it. So you have to have that other person that gets invited.
Right.
Who's always excited that they were invited, but don't realize the reason why they were invited is because it's going to be open season on them. And I
Courtney Love at the Pamela Anderson roast.
Yeah.
The situation from Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Carrot Top got it bad one time.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and Donald Trump got invited to that Obama thing. And if you notice, as far as, I mean, I obviously wasn't there, but it looked like they sat him right in the middle of the fucking room.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Seth Meyers could find
him.
He was perfectly lit.
He was a layup. And I think that he was so fucking mad.
He didn't even move.
He ran for president. Was so fucked up.
Wow.
Is then, like, I don't know when that was, but like within 4 years of that, he's walking into Obama's house like, see you later. I mean, it was like the end of Empire Strikes Back. You know? when like Darth Vader wins, it was just like, wow, man, I can't wait to see the next one. This is crazy.
Man, Adam, you look relaxed and comfortable.
Oh, I'm comfy as fuck, Brad. I've been a lot more comfy lately ever since I bought me a pair of Bird Dog shorts.
That's right, Bird Dog shorts. They sent you a pair, they sent me a pair, and man, I love these shorts.
Well, look, underwear is quickly becoming a thing of the past. You know what I'm saying? Like, cut out the middleman.
It's like taxi drivers.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Dudes want to be comfy. We live in a free country, especially being comics. We live in a world where we get to exercise free speech. Why not have your dick and balls be free? They deserve a nice, comfy breeze in the middle of the day. And Bird Dog shorts give you that comfort. They've got a nice built-in silky liner to make it to where underwear does not have to be a part of the equation. Why have two pairs of shorts do the job of one? You know what I'm saying?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. And you can wear these, on the airplane, to the pool, to work out.
Just lounging around. But
also, there's just so much, like, there's so many times in our lives where we're getting, like, just accumulating jock sweat and just getting uncomfortable. And it's like, you want to be as free and comfy at all times.
Absolutely. And you can get that with Bird Dog shorts, man. The second I got these things out of the box, I put them on, I went right to sleep because it felt like my balls were on their own little pillow.
Yeah. And you... That was very descriptive, and I saw an image of your balls going to sleep on a pillow.
And wasn't it adorable?
It was adorable. Look, they dry faster than a bathing suit. You can wear them on dates. Nothing impresses a girl more than gym shorts.
Everyone
obviously
knows that.
It should be a point of pride, letting your manhood be free. And look, in a day and age where there's chaos all around us, comfortability is
that's a word.
It is comfortability.
Is it
comfort? I think it's comfortability. Comfortability sounds easier to say and a lot more... Fuck you, Brad. All right. Bird Dog shorts, they're the comfiest shorts on planet Earth. And if you want them, all you got to do is go to birddogs.com, enter promo code ALN. And if you do it right now, they'll throw in a free dad hat,
which is
obviously a cool as fuck hat because dads are cool. Dads are coming back. Dads are becoming cool in style again. And they always know what to put on their heads.
That's what I've always said about dads. And these hats are sick. And so that means when you get a free hat, it's like they're giving you $50.
Yeah.
It's like they're just saying, here's $50. Because these hats, that's how much you would pay for them.
Go to birddogs.com, promo code ALN, and start living your best life. And now, back to the episode.
So, there's always that with those roasts. So, I just always, you know.
I loved during that whole time too, because when we were working on our jokes at Laugh Boston, and you know, you had kind of heard that I was going to dress up as an old Yankee fan, and you were like,
"Oh, I loved it."
You were like, "What are you going to dress up like, Babe Ruth or some shit?" Like, you were just so busting my balls, and then you had no clue that I'd flown out like a makeup lady and was transforming myself.
No, I saw you in the lobby, and I didn't recognize you.
Well, that's what I've told that story so many times because I went up to you. I don't know if you remember exactly what was said, but I was like, "Hey, Bill Burr, I'm a big fan," and you're like, "All right, buddy, yeah, thank you so much. You were nice." And then I go, "Hey, I got some notes for your cartoon." You're like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, if you don't mind, I get to speak a few things." And you're like, "Buddy, fuck off." And I was like, "Come on, man." And then I go, "Bill, it's me." And you go, "What?" And your look when you realized it was me was like
fucking priceless. They did to your neck, you look like, you know those people you can see that they have like, fuck, was it hypertension?
Yeah.
Like, this person's going to have a heart attack. Like, that's what your neck looked like. It was just like, this guy eats a lot of salty foods. It was amazing. And then what I loved too was how much the Red Sox fans They loved it. Like, yeah. That's what a sports town Boston is. You came out as a Yankee fan. They booted first. Then you're like, go fuck yourself. We got 27. And then they laughed.
Yeah.
They laughed. Yeah. That was cool. I thought that was really cool on their part. Because I thought they were going to be, you know, possibly getting, you know, upset about
it. Would you ever do something like that? Like, not only for a roast specifically, but like an acting job? Like, do you ever see a part or envision, like, man, at some point I'd love to just get in full, like, you know, like the way Jim Carrey did the Grinch, like something like that intense.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, until you
do you
watch,
want to do the new Grinch?
Until you watch E! Entertainment and you see how long they're sitting in that chair. They have the straws up their nose.
Yeah.
Like, that's really for an actor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I like being in movies. It's fucking cool as shit. I like acting. I really enjoy it. But I don't want to have to fucking dress up like the werewolf every day. Or, you know, these personal trainers and shit, so you can play, you know, fucking so the Hornet
gonna,
or whatever.
Yeah, so you're not going to, like, play a superhero where you got to have six pack?
Look. Well, I don't think at this age. I think I got a, the way I look, I got a better chance playing Lex Luthor. I think he always had a nice pot belly.
He's well fed.
So, but I like the parts that I've been getting out here, and I'm very comfortable with it. And I still love being a comedian, and that's what I like to, like, there's no more fun than doing that. Like, I just played two of my favorite cities. I was in Minneapolis and I was in Detroit. And I love all that. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, all the way through, right over to Baltimore, Buffalo. All these places that everybody's, you know, I was always, flyover states and everything. They're beautiful cities. Yeah. Food is unbelievable. People are psyched that you came there and shit.
Yeah, why do you think people say that about us? Do you think it's they just haven't gotten out and experienced it?
Because there's this thing that people have that moved to New York and L.A. They just automatically think that they're successful because they left their hometown. And all they really did was just put their shit in a bag and go somewhere else to sleep. And they're acting like that they're like enlightened.
Oh, shit.
And they have work in the Louvre or some shit. You know?
Yeah, because you've did the Billy Red State tour. Was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you like went to a bunch of small towns.
All the red states. And I went out there. And when I go out, to red states, I make fun of conservatives and fucking AR-15s and all of that shit. And,
yeah.
You know, you want my guns, come and get them. I make fun of all of that shit. And then when I'm out here, back in the day when Hillary was running, I just made fun of Hillary.
Dude, you did something, it was Night of Too Many Stars, and then you went on stage at the Beacon Theater in front of a bunch of rich...
That was a fun show.
Rich liberals that are all there, Obama supporters.
Now, you didn't meet any of them. You don't know who any of them. You just did some quick math in your head. All rich liberals.
But you went out there and then you shit on Michelle Obama. Like, that's how you, like, kind of...
No, I didn't.
Well, you said, like, I'm not... I'm getting tired of her. Like, she's starting to piss me off.
Oh, I don't know. That was, that thing where...
About the first lady
Hillary
stepping
did
in.
It first.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all of a sudden, you're kind of like, I kind of got elected too, right? Yeah. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't. It's like that fucking, you know, when your buddy's got a backstage pass but doesn't have one for you and you try to fucking slip in with them. And all of a sudden... You know, I got to sit there listening to you discussing policy. It's like, nobody fucking vetted you on the way in. You were just sitting there doing this shit. Now, all of a sudden, you get made head of this council.
It is.
You know what it is.
But like,
you know what it is. Yeah. Like, they all fucking nag them.
Yeah.
You know? Well, Hillary got the union. All right. Fuck.
I'll give you a job, too.
Fine. You want to run the Treasury? You want to be the foreign policy? Get her out of the fucking house.
But I see you do something like that, and I go, man, like, you look at an audience. It seems as though you look at an audience and go, I'm going to talk about something that they absolutely, on the surface, disagree with, but I'm going to convince them.
No, I'm just more of an asshole. And I just see, like if I went... to like the biggest meathead guy convention thing ever and did stand up, I would be championing women's rights like you couldn't believe. But if I went to a school and there was a bunch of feminists there, I would act like Archie Bunker.
Why?
Because
you know you're digging a hole.
Because fuck them.
Yeah.
That's why. With your stupid agenda, and you're going to fucking sit there. Hey, we all grew up on the same block and we all hang out with each other. That's why you're fucking extremist morons. Because you're just sitting there all agreeing with each other.
Yeah.
And even
looking through one lens.
Even if you're smart, in a way, if the vibe of the crowd is this mouth-breathing morons, where then it's just like keep every joke on this street, and then you're a hero. If you veer off anyway, you know, nowadays, it's like, you know, they try to ruin your career. So
have you always been that way? Have you always like just approached when you are on stage that you don't want to like?
No, I didn't. I don't know when I started doing that. I'm doing it more though now, where there's all of this, like, you know, you always do these interviews with today's comedy climate. Do you feel the fucking pressure? It's like the whole comedy climate thing is completely invented, because you can do a show in front of 2,000, all the way up to 6,000 people, get a standing ovation.
Yeah.
And in the end, if one person didn't like the show and they blog about it, their fucking point of view is what happened that night.
Right.
And they can write, I've had this happen. Mm-hmm. People were walking out. People didn't like, this what I forget. I was doing one of those, what is it? Fucking Nutty McFuckers, whatever that, what was that tour?
Who books
tour,
that?
Oddball tour,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it was something weird, right? So there wasn't as weird as I thought.
Somebody out there had that idea for a comedy club name and is so bummed you just made fun of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in Florida somewhere. So it was a wide variety of people.
Outdoor amphitheater, right?
Yeah. And then it was just like a lot of that, you know. There's you know, when there's people on the show that are catering to those people, they think that then this show becomes their thing. So then when I go out there, all my silly shit all of a sudden becomes like statement. So I don't know what though. I was trying to figure out, like, wow, why the fuck did that happen? But this person was just like lying, going like, there's people walking out, nobody thinks he's funny.
Jesus.
And blah, 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 blah.
And that gets top billing.
No, the real thing, dude, I had to go on after all of those. I mean, there was a bunch of killers on that show.
Yes.
I went on close to the end.
After like 3 hours probably, hard. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking difficult going after this fucking asshole at the K Rock.
Yeah, I was telling you about this today. That was the first one of those
fucking
I went
humping the stool and all that shit. Fucking thing. Why did you just light a guitar on fire? And then I have to go on. I always give them shit too, because they're like, you know what, Dick had the set of the night. Let me guess, the guy went up third. When everybody was still sober.
I was just telling Brad that today. I go, that was the first one of those I went to, and I remember I couldn't, like, he goes up and does his lap dance and crushes, and you go out there and you were working out your stuff about Hitler and Stalin, and
that did not go well.
But here's what was unbelievable. I literally saw you working it out at the store the night before, and I'm like, I can't believe he's working this out for 6,000 people, and you know, it's nothing to you, but
it was something to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. I don't like not doing well, but okay. I was already so fucking annoyed with them before I went out there that I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna do this.
But you literally made a comment, you go, and you felt a turn, and you kind of pause, and then people started laughing because you kind of just gave a moment to like recognize, all right, not everyone's on board, and you go, really? You go, a midget comes out and fucking humps a stool, and I can't try to work something out about Hitler? Like,
dude, and then the show was over.
But then they like, everybody laughed, and then like, you kept going, and then somehow like they got more on board. Like, how often, when did that turn happen? Because I've seen you do that a lot, where not that you were personally
I've seen you bomb a lot.
No. Well, I'm saying, like, you will take a, and you say, like, you go, I realize this isn't a popular opinion, and you're talking about something that a lot of us just don't have the balls to talk about, or don't have a thorough enough point of view to explore.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
All right, well,
everybody does, and everybody, that's why what I'm saying isn't that fucking nuts.
I couldn't take
stupid.
I see some of the stuff you're talking about right now, and I'm like, I don't know if I could talk about it from that angle. And so I feel like that takes time, right, to get...
Well, go into hair and makeup and just go out as that fucking Yankee guy. Have him say it.
Trust me. I want to.
I actually hate when comics say, like, I can't get away with this. Or, well, it's like...
It's not get away with it. It's not that I don't have the...
Yes, you can.
I don't have the trust in myself to attack it and really...
All right, well, start... Just say one rude thing tonight.
Well, like, when did you?
I'm not saying just be.
When did you though get, like? Also, you have to be, you know, genuinely intrigued about, like, you know, some of the stuff you're talking about now, and I won't, you know, tease it, but like, you obviously have to get to a point to where you just don't care that you're not going to, like, that people aren't going to be on board with it, right?
Well, I mean, you get to a point, a relationship with the comedy club, especially out here. I mean, the first, like, you know. Fucking 6-7 years you're out here, you feel like you have to kill every time you go.
That's
up
what I'm
there.
Saying. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Once you get in, and you know, you start to, you got to get to that point where you've started to pay them back for the stage time.
Okay.
Because at first they're doing you a favor. Cause
sure.
No one knows who the fuck you are, and you're not good.
Yeah.
And then you get good, and then that's the payback time. And then when you start selling tickets, then you can really pay them back, because if they advertise you, more people come down, they sell more drinks, and blah blah blah. And when you're doing that, then you can actually relax and you can talk more about the stuff that you, you know, that, that, that you want to talk about. But a lot of the shit that I'm talking about, if nobody knew who I was, I'm not saying all clubs, but there would be a number of clubs that I would probably, I had that happen at the fucking Laugh Factory like years ago.
Oh, really?
Jamie stopped booking me over something. You know?
Do you remember what you said?
What happened, buddy? You used to work clean, then you come in, you fuck all over the place, and blah, blah. I thought I was laughing. I thought he was just joking. Then all of a sudden, I just stopped getting spots. And he would be like, no, man. That never happened. Yeah, it did. So maybe he was right. I don't know.
Do you have a spot that you, is a stage to you, or is like, are there certain, like I've heard stories of you doing open mics in towns after you do a theater and you'll, coffee shops. I know Dean Del Rey was like, Bill came and played my fucking coffee shop. And I was like,
that's a good deal.
Thanks, man. Tour going to fucking Portland. I've been in the Copper.
Yeah. That was great.
That was great. Bill.
I saw him on their first tour.
No,
he's always got that thing.
Isn't that amazing?
Dude, Ozzy opened up. Listen to this lineup. Oakland Coliseum. I'm standing next to Bill Graham. Oh. I'm doing lines with Axl Rose.
Kind of amazing stories. Yeah.
He lives in this apartment complex. You can go stop by his place after this.
He has.
We don't got to out where people fucking live.
Yeah, Brad. Well, we haven't said the street yet. We've gotten close.
Jesus Christ.
But do you don't go out of your way to, like, after you do like the Beacon or Carnegie Hall or something, to come back and hit a the haha or something, like just something completely.
I love doing stand up, and I don't say no.
You don't think about what the room is. You need it to be conducive to comedy, obviously, right? Like, you're not going to do a bar show.
No, I just find the little rooms they're fun, and I've just always loved comedy clubs. I mean, that was really the goal. The goal when I was starting, there was only like, you know, Pryor, Cosby, who else? Dice, Carlin. There was a handful of people that were doing theaters. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the big, like, TV stars came to town and they played the Comedy Connection at Faneuil Hall. And I was like, this is a 400 seater. They sold it out. It's fucking unbelievable. It sold out the whole weekend. And that was like the goal. Like, if I could ever just go around the country selling out comedy clubs. So all of this other stuff has been
crazy.
Yeah, it's been, and it has been because of the internet and social media and how comedy so fits in with it, where it's just like people, like most of the shit you watch, it's like you either want to be blown away or you want to laugh. So we're kind of 50%, other than whatever porn is.
Hey, sometimes you want to laugh.
I mean, yeah, and sometimes you're blown away.
Blown away was a good porn title.
Yeah. There you go.
Are theaters just like way to go into a city and pop in and pop out? Is it just like way more fun than staying for a weekend? Or do you miss those days? I know you said you don't reflect, but.
No, there's good and bad about it. Because there's cities that I love, like Minneapolis. So it was cool that I was there for 2 days. I got to see, drive by at least, where the Minneapolis Lakers used to play. It's still awesome. Up, this armory thing. And they just redid it so you
can
do a show there. And I just want to take a tour just to see it. But
yeah,
it doesn't look like the way when George Mikan was there and stuff. But, you know, I got a Juicy Lucy. You know what I mean? I did a few things over there.
What's a Juicy Lucy?
Oh, that's
what Brad does you in Vegas if you pay $40.
Yeah.
No, that's the, they got that burger where they put the chunk of cheese in the middle of it, and then they don't tell tourists about it, and then you come in and you bite, and it's like fucking molten lava. So you're supposed to nibble around the edges, wow. Cut it in half.
So it's,
There's all kinds of cool shit to do. Like Milwaukee's one of my favorites.
I want to go there so bad.
Oh my God, Milwaukee.
Is it?
Oh yeah, dude.
My mom and dad used to live there.
I got a couple places that you can go to smoke a cigar, or go get some really good food.
Yes.
And you can take a tour of the Miller High Life factory, which I've yet to do.
Do you get people hitting you up too when you go to cities? I'm sure, right? Like, come take a tour of this. Just hit up this guy. Like, you can pretty much key to the city.
I don't look at a lot of like that shit. I don't look at a lot of that shit.
What do you mean?
I don't look
those at messages.
Yeah, I don't. I like
those, right, because that was actually me who offered that tour 17 years ago.
No, I feel like that stuff is for me to put shit out there,
right?
Mm-hmm. And if somebody has like a, you know, if they ask like a specific question, like, you know, when is FFF Family coming out?
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm allowed to say it,
right,
whatever the hell I'm allowed to say it, then I will answer that. But like,
but ballparks and sporting events, do you just, I mean, like,
we've had some,
I'd be like, doing that all the time if I was you there. Like, well, they want you there.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But then also, then it can get weird. It can get, you'll see. It can get weird. But I mean, I've done some cool shit. Like, you know, I've gone to like a you know, I go to a big college football game every year, and I just asked one time, I went to a UT game, Texas, and I was like, who's got a good, come on, I know you guys are all smoking out here, who's got a good fucking, you know, barbecue, whatever, cookout to go to?
Tailgate, yeah.
And somebody got to us, and we fucking like, all right, we went there, it was in a public place, so it seemed safe. And it was weird for a few minutes, and then they just realized we were, hey, we're just here to drink and eat, and they're like, ah, and then it just became normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you got to talk to a couple old timers. We here when, you know, Earl Campbell was here. Do you remember that shit?
Man.
So it was, I like that type.
Yeah, because you really seem like you've made an effort to go to a bunch of games and a bunch of stadiums in like all the different cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do something when you're out there.
Yeah. Is there a, do you have a food or a snack, like, you know, a snack? This is one.
Is this
of
like the end of the podcast? Like, we're really just getting down to like the nitty. Now, when you,
we got about 15-20 minutes left. Is that cool?
When you clip your fingernails, do you go with the right hand or the left?
Hey, man,
hand?
This is what the podcast forum
it's
has allowed for.
Here too, by
is
the way.
It really? Let me turn like, some AC on.
Like these lights here. Like, what are you guys going to do with this? Do I need to sign
Let's
a
go
release?
On the ATC site.
Don't these things only last for like 15 minutes or something?
They got a chip in them.
Oh, they do. Oh, is it connected to the chip in you?
Yeah.
Is Alexis,
he controls it.
Is that the voice?
Yeah.
Can you do about 15 more minutes?
Yeah, yeah, okay, absolutely.
I can't turn some
I was
on.
Loving it till about 5 minutes ago. Then it just started getting like.
That's pretty good.
Bill, you go to cook. Apron, no apron.
Well, since you brought it up.
Well, I go apron if I'm baking.
Because I know you
be
do
messy.
Bake.
If I'm going to mess, it's going to be messy. Yeah, an apron's the greatest because you can just go like that.
Yeah.
And you keep it moving.
Yeah. Do you put your hands in your pockets or you're out hands? Are you waving guy? You doing
all right. All right. No, but like, well, you are a big sports fan, and we have NBA free agency going on right now. You're a big Celtics fan. How do you feel about LeBron coming to Los Angeles now?
You know, I'm all right with it. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of boring if you're a Celtics fan and Lakers aren't good, which they haven't been for the last 4 years. But
thanks.
It does see that it does seem that the NBA like is finessed like no other league.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like so, American Idol. You know who's going to win like before the show's even started.
Yeah, and it's definitely like they're doing everything they can short of fixing games now that they got the one guy who was fixing them, right? Which all last decade, dude, they had a major fucking problem.
Major problem.
I said for years ago, this is fucking fixed. I went to a fucking Celtics Utah Jazz game.
Nice.
I swear to God, I'm in Utah, and it was like, this guy, you got to take out a hatchet to fucking, for like 10 minutes. There's no fouls. And then all of a sudden, he's calling it totally tight. And then he goes back again. Like, I've never seen that so blatantly. Because it's always like, you know, the umpire establishes the strike zone. Or he's, hey, he's letting them play tonight.
Yeah.
It's not like this Sybil shit where like the guy's got like 20 personalities and nobody knew what was what. And I was just sitting there and I looked at somebody. I was like, this is fucking, is it me? Is this game fucking fixed? This guy's like shaving points or something. Like they're not going to hit the mark. Oh, they're going too fast. You know, whatever the fuck he had.
Right.
And then everybody said I was nuts, which I was back then because I was like, you think that robot conspiracy theory? But then there was finally a ref that got busted for
Tim
being
Donaghy.
A mom.
Yeah.
And just basically said, you know, Lakers,
that
you guys got that championship. Beat the Kings.
By beating the Sacramento Kings. That was the
not
big
beating,
one.
Not beating, you know, the refs did. The refs should have got a fucking something, you know? And, yeah, I don't. There's just something, or the referees just have too much influence. Like the last time we played you guys in the finals, it was a game seven, Celtics Lakers. I mean, that is the NBA.
Yeah,
right. It was the most boring game I've ever seen. They called like 30 something fouls on the Celtics and like 15 on the Lakers. You just can't do that in a game seven. You got to make the players beat you. I literally watched them from the line beat us in a game seven. It was like the most, you know. It's like when you watch these fucking World Cup games.
Yeah.
When it comes down to penalty kicks.
Yeah, that's always frustrating.
Can we just get rid of the refs for like one game maybe and just see what happens?
Well, I mean, it's just,
we'll go with one ref.
I think it's just changed now. So there's, it used to be like when I was a kid, if you were a rock star and you did any sort of a commercial, you were a sellout. And now it's just like that's how they get their music out there. And it used to be back in the day that if you were with the team, you were with the team, and you didn't just join the other fucking team. You tried to beat them. And it's just over now. And that time, I'm glad I got to watch it the other way. You know, where guys were
where like you have that Magic and Bird were on the same teams like their whole careers.
Yeah, like if when the Celtics beat the Lakers in 84, if Magic just said to hell with it and joined the Celtics the next year.
That would be fucking bonkers.
Rather than he stayed and in 85, you were the first team that ever won a championship in the Boston Garden.
On
drank
the parquet
champagne.
Floor.
And I'll never forget Kareem when he hit that shot and he went like that. I was like going, fuck you, the TV. So mad. But like now I look back and I, you know, obviously I love those Laker teams and I love that I got to see that. I know Kareem Kareem was a free agent and everything, but like most of those guys, it was shrewd trades and drafting. Like it was more than like, hey, we have the most money.
Right.
We're in a very desirable city.
Sure.
Like LA, Miami. Who the fuck wants to go to Boston?
Kyrie Irving, apparently.
Yeah. What was a cooler deal?
To go to the fucking Freedom Trail?
What was a cooler experience, getting to act in a scene with Jane Curtin?
We gave up a bunch of people for Kyrie Irving, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
Before you try to make that look like that was some big, like...
No, I know you did.
Yeah,
you,
it was a trade. Yeah, we got rid of Isaiah Thomas, who would have his own fucking street the way he was playing.
Yeah.
That, to me, is... I mean, Isaiah is also a Seattle boy, so I thought I was very affected by that.
I love that guy.
That was so fucked up. Yeah. But, I mean, like, why...
Where is he now?
L.A.
Yeah, he was on the Lakers.
He's still here
this past year.
Oh, no. But then he did he not get along with LeBron?
He's still here. I mean, they just haven't... but he's on, like, a two-year deal, maybe. So
They haven't dealt
him
yet.
He had knee surgery, so he's trying to come back.
He did, dude.
Which sucked because, I mean, dude, he was going to max out with you guys.
He has the biggest heart.
Why would you not want to?
That's the worst trade in a while in Boston, watching him.
Because Danny Ainge has done everything right, it seems like.
Yeah, he's kind of looking like Belichick Jr., you know, like as far as his moves. So, I'm excited for it. I don't know. I don't want to be that old guy bitching about the way the kids do it. God knows I've done that enough. So it's just like, if that's what people do, I just don't get why LeBron gets so much shit. I get when he went to Miami, they gave him shit. But once he came back
and won a title in
Cleveland, won a title, it's like it's over.
Yeah.
He did it. Roll credits.
Yeah. He broke the streak. Haven't won a title since 1963.
People like criticizing him within 2 months the next season. It's just like, what the fuck? What do I got to do?
How much prep did you do before you did Madison Square Garden? And how bonkers was that? Because I'm sure you went to games there growing up and even as...
No, you know what I did was I got with Josh Adam Myers and those guys from the goddamn Comedy Jam and Ben Bailey.
Oh, yeah.
And we rented a bunch of drums and guitars.
That's right, I saw those pictures.
And we just fucking... jammed in an empty Madison Square Garden and had so much fun and were acting like fucking idiots that like it felt like
took the nerves away.
Well, we kind of made it our own little clubhouse. So then when I went up there, I remember Verzi opened and then it was DeRosa, and DeRosa had like this fucking Golden Girls looking sweater on that I made fun of. And then I just felt like I was at like the Cellar or something.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Just shitting on them, and the sound was great. And
do you usually do that with big venues, or is this one just so momentous that you're like, I gotta bring it down a little?
No, I mean I haven't done a lot of those. So it wasn't something that I wanted to do either. But then it was just kind of like, well, they want you to do it,
and that's not one of those things that like.
And I was just like, well, am I gonna regret later on if I don't do it? I need another tissue, dude. I'm fucking sick here. Hang on. Can you hit pause on these things?
Yeah, sure.
Go grab it. All right. I'll get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Seattle was all pressed. They had Tampa Bay Mariners stuff ready to go if we didn't have that crazy 95 season where we
Is that right?
Yeah, the team was anyway.
That's such a great city.
Yeah,
such a great city. I think that Seattle hockey team is gonna I think the NHL finally put together three great moves: Nashville, Vegas, and now Seattle. After all those times just picking warmer cities and missing the mark, like I don't know what's going on, but like,
you don't think the Phoenix Coyotes are one of the greatest NHL franchises of all time?
I know.
Have you gone up?
I mean, I'm not saying they're bad fans down there, but it's just like, I mean, go figure. Go figure why Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I like, when they said they were going to Nashville, I was like, that is an all-time high, dumbest place to put a franchise. What in the... That's like Family Values, like country music. What are we doing? I remember I went to a game early on in their time there, and this puck went in the corner. They didn't even know how to cheer it on. Went in the corner, and this old lady yelled up behind me. She goes, squish him. Swear to God. And I was just like, squish him? All right.
But now, they've sort of gotten it.
They do.
Are you going to be one of those dads? You said your daughter's about to turn a year and a half?
Yep.
Which it's... adorable to see how
I'll show you the cutest video ever.
I remember talking to you at the store maybe a couple months in, and or no, actually it was in Boston. We were walking to the House of Blues, and you were just like just gushing over it, and I was, you know, and I was talking to you about like, man, I just don't know if I ever get in a place, and you were like, you have to, you can do both, because I was telling you that was my concern of like still staying active with this and then doing it, but you found the balance.
It's a job, dude. It's a job. You fucking... And also, you can actually see your kid more. If you do this business right, you can actually see your kid more than somebody with a 9-to-5. I mean, there's days where I go on the road, but I mean, I never go out for more than 2 or 3 days. And then I fly out the day of the gig, so I make sure that I see her there in the morning. And then I'm on the first one coming back, and but then I'm home for like 10 days straight.
It's awesome.
And then I think when she gets like older, I'll just sort of work around her spring breaks in summer vacations until she gets old enough that she's sick of me and I embarrass her.
I was going to say, you're going to be that dad if she plays sports, which you probably will.
Oh, yeah.
Like screaming and hollering and front row. Or are you going to be like, you know what? Let me step back and not. I think there's
I mean, I'll cheer if she does something good, but I'm not going to be like yelling at refs and shit.
You're going
like
to be getting dad fights? There's a YouTube rabbit hole you can go down, dad fights.
And I don't want to see that. That's not good. No, I'm just going to expose her to a lot of different things and see what she gravitates towards. And but like one of my goals is that she's going to know how to do stuff. Mm-hmm. She's not going to be one of these girls that doesn't know how to do shit. You know, you get a girlfriend and they just don't know how to do stuff.
Yeah. I loved you were
like fucking the door handles like loose. It's just like, get an Allen wrench. Can you open a jar of fucking peanut butter? Can you put it back on? You can fix this.
Yeah.
You know, so like,
it's embarrassing.
Know, teach her how to throw.
Yeah.
Because my wife will handle all the girl shit, you know?
Right.
So I'll do all the guy. I already have her, like, she has like these little toy, like, all different colorful balls. She comes out. She's mainly a righty, I think.
Nice.
She comes out and she just like throws them across the room. My wife hates it. It's on hardwood floors, but I love it. Then my thing is I'm trying to throw them back to her area faster than she can clear out her whole area. And she just like loses her mind. It has a great time. But now she'll take out a puzzle and now she starts to throw the puzzle. So like, I got to try to like dial it back. Like you do that with ball. You throw a ball, puzzle.
Do you have a go-to dad move, like a silly face or a noise or something you do to try to make her laugh?
It changes because they change and then their sense of humor changes. So like what used to just imitating a sneeze was like, you know, was
lost her mind.
Prior level comedy to her. And now it's I think chasing her. Like, you know, that's chasing her is what makes her laugh.
What if you were like, now it's like Ellen albums.
Yeah. I know. You know what's funny is like the how like everything's so new to them that they're like that their heightened emotions are just like what can just make them cry or like you know, like you chase them and they're so excited that they have to stop running because like there's this jolt of like that they stop. It's the funniest shit ever.
Yeah.
It's so cute. I understand why people have so many kids because they grow even just a year and a half has gone by so quick that she's not a baby, she's a toddler now. So I can see that you just want to hit the reset button and just keep having a baby because it's so And it does go by. It goes by like cruising.
And you were a guy that would rant about like not getting married, not wanting to be married.
Yep.
So now that you're married, kid, like, do you look back and go like, yeah, that was the right decision?
Oh yeah, but I mean, when I was doing that, it was my fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was some intelligence to it, but a lot of it was my fear of like. You know, you marry somebody, they can just take you for everything you got. And you're in this business long enough. That's the funny thing when they're talking about in this Me Too shit, all these predators out here.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't brought up, like, you know, all of these fucking women out here trying to get your fucking money. You know what I mean? And they just blame the guys over that shit. Like, I can't believe how good looking I've gotten over the last fucking 5 years. You're not that old. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. I'm keeping my house. Yeah, no, it's fucking ridiculous, dude. Like, I've met a lot of people out here, and, you know, that there's like, I mean, it's like fucking ridiculous, like the levels that guys are getting stolen from out here with shit like that. And they just go, well, hey, you know, well, what did you think? That's your fault. But I mean, there's no law against.
There's no due process. There's just like.
There's no law against somebody saying that they love you when they don't just so they can get your shit.
Yeah,
the
day after the prenup runs out or whatever, you know. It's like, you know, nobody gives a fuck about guys. They still nobody gives a shit. It's about them. It's all about them.
What of your work are you excited for your daughter to see first of? Or will you allow her? Like, will you let her watch F is for Family at like age 10? I showed my brother's Family Guy at like 9, and they have great sense of humor because of it.
If she ever wants to watch any of my shit, that'll be her decision. But I mean, I would never be like,
hey, you want to see what I did?
No, I would hope that she would want to watch something else.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that guy to her. I would rather just be like, but I mean, I know a lot of guys that, you know, have done way more than me, and they're just dad, and they're just like,
the kids don't care.
No, the kids is like, oh, yeah. God, I get it. You won an Oscar. You know? it's just the stoop, like, whatever you do after a while, it's because they're trying to make their break, and I think, I would guess. And then also, you bringing them up at some point, there's that age you get to where you just think you got it down, you have life down. That's like around 11 or 12.
Right.
And then you start getting like, you become more like their boss and they start getting like disgruntled and shit like that. Like, what the fuck do I got to do what this guy says? What does this guy know, you know?
Well, you are, speaking of boss, you are technically our boss because you run the All Things Comedy Network and
it's
are-
a co-op, my friend.
With you, Al Madrigal. And
that's right.
Yeah,
you guys do make it very cohesive, though. It's it feels very collaborative. It
took us a long time to try and figure out how to get this fucking hippo running down the street.
Yeah,
we finally got it, though, man. We're like, you know,
you got a good team.
Well, yeah, we just sold a special to a network that I'm not allowed to say.
Whoa.
Although, Jesus, Remy never rob a fucking
I'll cut
bank
that out.
With you.
I'll cut that out.
Like three other. Specials. I think we're going to do three other hours for that same network.
Nice.
And we're in talks with some of the sports leagues, and we're pitching a show coming up. You know,
what made you want to start a comedy network?
Because I've been in the business long enough where I always see artists starting scenes, and then the businessman comes in. It's like, all right, I'm going to just fucking, you know, corral all of this, okay? Mm-hmm. You're going to, you know, I'm going to give you all this exposure. I'm going to own what you do.
Yeah.
And this blah, 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 blah. And I was going down that same road, and I was seeing comics, like, giving up ownership of their podcast, saying, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you created this whole fucking thing, and you don't need this fucking guy. He needs you. So we just want a place for comics to go to where you could retain ownership, and as a collective, we could promote each other's stuff. And the artists would get the money.
All right.
That, well, that's the goal. Who knows? 10 years from now. And he stole all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does Bill have a second copter?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this.
No worries. It's a good time.
I mean, I don't even know if you have to be aware of how just much
shut
comic.
Up, shut up. All right. I don't hear that.
All right.
All right.
But it's a big deal for us for you to do this. So yeah. I appreciate it.
Why are you talking like you've never met me before? We fucking hung out.
I know, but
this
it's still,
like a big deal.
It is.
To sit down and talk to me like I have 1,000 times before. I understand. I'm not good at taking compliments.
Yeah, I know.
But
you're
shut
not.
Up. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for
Bill.
Having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.